Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found Nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic. Marquise Munson behind the glass. Hoping to have Mayor John Cooper and his press conference coming up shortly. And obviously, Joe, not a way any of us wanted to start our show and really have the majority of our show dominated by today in terms of the conversation of what happened in our community last night. A storm rolling through. I think the AP has come out and said multiple tornadoes have confirmed to be on the ground last night in our area. East Nashville heavily affected, Germantown, Mount Juliet, Lebanon, Putnam County, Benton County, North Nashville, kind of all over the place in terms of the areas affected last night by the storms. Death tolls have been creeping in. I think Fox 17 has reported 9. Others are still at the 7 mark, the 8 number, so kind of conflicting reports there, and those are always challenging when things like this happen as information comes in rapidly, and being able to kind of keep up with that can be very, very difficult. So just a tragic situation. And I know, you know, I got home from the Preds game last night, Joe, and the first thing I did, you know, my wife was asleep in the next room, and I was just keeping an eye on the weather, and we knew that about 30 to 45 minutes after I got home was when this thing was going to get rolling and get started. And fortunately, I live in Greenbrier, in that area, you know, we got some straight line winds. We got, you know, cloud to ground lightning, heavy rain, but really that's about it at the end of the day. Other areas in our community are completely devastated right now. And the pictures and video that have come in, it's been borderline unbelievable to see, you know, these communities that we're very familiar with. We know the businesses, the neighborhoods there. And quite frankly, right now, some of them look like a war zone.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned North Nashville, because we've talked about some of the things we've seen from Lebanon, from East Nashville, Germantown. Steve Lehman, one of many journalists out around town today, our friend, of course, Channel 5 Sports, but he had some images from North Nashville too, and you know, kind of talking about how neighbors are out in the neighborhood, everybody's kind of smiling and, you know, happy to be there and you know, kind of leaning on each other even in the face of this damage, and we're going to have a lot of that here moving forward in this community as well.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, unfortunately, this is not the first time we've had to deal with this. I've mentioned earlier in the show, like, one of the first memories I have from my childhood is the tornado that came through in 1998, which I believe there were 7 fatalities in 1998 when that came through. Obviously, this is going to be worse by the reports out there, and the damage is just unbelievable when you see that, just kind of the wide scope of this thing. Very thankful for our news stations, for Twitter accounts like Nash Severe WX on Twitter, and the work they put in really all night long last night. I mean, I think Danielle Breezy was on Channel 2 a minute ago when we flipped it over there. I'm pretty sure she's been there since like last night. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's gone home yet. So a tough night, a long night for workers there, but just a really tough situation all around in our community. And I think Mayor John Cooper is about to begin his press conference here in just a second, and we'll get to that live when he starts to do that, hopefully. But just a really tough day here in Nashville in our community.
Here's some good information. Matt Smith, college football writer, southernpigskin.com, tweets out, follow at HO Nashville, that's Hands On Nashville, for organized ways to help. So yep. if you want to help, you can help follow that account.
And we have Mayor John Cooper live here now on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Last night was a reminder about how fragile life is, that at any moment an event can show up and make us all too painfully aware of this. This morning's tornado devastated our community.
and I want to extend my deepest condolences to the family, friends, and loved ones of our neighbors who we lost as a result of this deadly storm. I had a chance to visit with storm survivors early this morning in the Nashville Farmers Market, and I was struck by the strength of spirit displayed by our neighbors of all ages, and I also will say their pets. It was great to see their pets with them, giving comfort to each other. Now, as I speak, firefighters and urban search and rescue personnel continue to examine collapsed buildings to ensure, first and foremost, that all residents are accounted for. I want to thank our first responders, utility workers, and metro agency professionals for the incredible work they've done overnight to keep our residents safe and our cities running. And I want to thank our neighboring counties for their offers of help, both for today and, frankly, the weeks to come. And I'd like to remind those of our neighbors who've been displaced by storm damage that we currently have two shelters open and running. In East Nashville, there is the East Magnet High School, and on the west side, the Centennial Sportsplex is up and running. Now, for the many thousands of you who have called, posted, and emailed with generous offers to help, I do have some recommendations. Hands on Nashville is ramping up efforts with community partners and volunteers to begin cleanup efforts throughout our hardest hit neighborhoods. You can sign up to volunteer at HON.org. Now, monetary donations, please, the Community Foundation at CFMT.org is equipped to handle financial donations. And then the Community Resource Center is available for donations except for clothing. And all three are worthy community partners and will put your donation and money to good work. Now, basically, metro agencies have been working since early this morning to quickly respond to this storm, assess damage citywide, and to begin recovery efforts. Many Nashvillians are without power at this moment, and I urge you to be patient and rest assured that NES is working hard to restore power throughout the city. Now, as damage reports continue to come in, I urge Davidson County residents to stay clear of damaged structures and downed power lines so that emergency crews and officials can do their work, and to report a non-emergency cleanup request, which there will be many. Residents can dial 311 from anywhere in Davidson County. And frankly, if you can refrain from driving on our roads today, you will help Metro's cleanup and recovery efforts to go further, faster. Now, my office, I want to compliment the state and the federal government for their offers of assistance. Nashvillians are known for our resilience, and it's time to show the world once again that we can accomplish a whole lot when we come together as a community and lend each other a helping hand. So if you can avoid traveling today, please do so. Remember our three great community partners to take donations. Do not go into a damaged structure or near a downed power line. That's extremely important. And as we recover from this, we'll continue to be a great, great city. But it will take a while for people to get power back onto every home in Nashville. Now, with that being said, I want to just acknowledge people here from the Metro and then turn this over to the state. We have our Fire Chief, William Swan, is here, available to answer questions. Chief Anderson of our great police department. Scott Potter from Metro Water. DaCosta Jenkins from NES, who's going to have just a big job in the weeks ahead. Eddie Davidson from Piedmont Natural Gas. Gas leaks are a big concern in a situation like this. Mark Sturdivant, the Director of Public Works, and then Patrick Sheehan, the Director of TEMA, is here. But with this, I'd like to turn this over to the Governor, and then we'll be open to answering questions from you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Let me first say that there's been a real coordinated effort. Thanks to the mayor, thanks to the team in Metro, Nashville, Davidson County, I applaud the efforts of folks that have been up all night long and working to make sure that we have the appropriate response. And we've coordinated that effort with the Tennessee effort, the statewide effort. I have been at the State Emergency Response Center. We're here today at the Metro, right now at the Metro Response Center. So I think the thing that I want to say first is thank you for your efforts and for all of those that are working to make sure that folks are safe and that we respond to the tragedy. Secondly, let me just acknowledge tragedy. It is heartbreaking. We have had loss of life all across the state. Four different counties have, as of this morning, had confirmed fatalities in Benton County, Putnam County, Wilson County, Davidson County. Nine confirmed fatalities so far. There are a number of people that are missing in different areas, many that are injured and being transported. So I encourage all of you to pray for the families across our state that are facing tragedy right now and that are dealing with heartache and hardship in ways that that only they know. So our hearts go out to them and our prayers go out to them, and for those who are supporting and making the efforts to support them. So we do have nine confirmed fatalities. There are folks missing. We have deployed teams across the state in a search and rescue effort where that's necessary. We do have a very strong coordinated response. We have ambulances lined up and available in sections where we need them. We've deployed additional state troopers to Wilson County, to Smith County, and beyond. We have opened up shelters around the state where necessary. We have been in touch with the White House this morning to ask for assistance federally. We have been in touch with our federal delegation, senators and congressmen, so that they're aware and we are coordinating that effort from a federal standpoint. It's a state of emergency, and that allows us to access additional services. So we're doing everything that we can to respond to this. That being said, it's a very difficult situation, and we'll be expanding that response as the day unfolds and we understand even greater what the damages are. I'll be in a helicopter flying over damaged areas across the state later this morning, and that'll give all of us a better idea of the extent of the damages. That's all being analyzed right now. So we'll have a Q&A here to get specific questions. But I think overall I wanted to remind folks of the tragedy and our need to reach out and support others. Also to encourage folks that we have a very strong coordinated effort and response here in Tennessee, that I'm very proud of the folks that have been up all night long working to make sure that we accomplish what we need to get accomplished, and that we have much to know and much to learn in the hours ahead. And we'll be providing information and input and feedback to Tennesseans as we get that information. Be mindful of the things that the mayor said, not traveling into downtown if you don't need to. And that would hold true in Putnam County and other areas of damage. Don't go where the damage is if you don't need to be there. We have emergency personnel that are assisting. But then do stay aware of how it is that you can volunteer when the time is right to surround our citizens and to be there for them when they need it. So I thank you for the opportunity. I thank you, Mayor, and many in this room who are coordinating the effort. We will stay on it all day long and continue to report back. Why don't we have our personnel from emergency response teams come up here, and then we'll have we'll do Q&A.
Yeah, if the chiefs would come up also, and Tima. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll take questions and then direct responses to the appropriate person.
Does anyone have a question?
That was Mayor John Cooper of Nashville and Tennessee Governor Bill Lee providing an update on the damage and, unfortunately, the death toll here after the storms moved in last night. 9 confirmed dead. Bill Lee mentioned there that several are still missing as well. So just a really tragic situation here in the aftermath of incredibly powerful tornadoes moving in our area last night.
Yeah, and among many things of note there, John Cooper mentioned, don't drive on these roads if you don't have to right now. Let the professionals who are trying to deal with this and clean this up and find people and do all this important work, power lines down, all this stuff, let them do that work and don't be on those roads unless you really have to be.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. And Joe, we heard Tennessee Governor Bill Lee and Mayor John Cooper addressing the media, providing an update in our last segment. Unfortunately confirmed that the death toll in the tornado outbreak last night is at 9 as we stand right now. Search and rescue efforts are still underway across different areas that have been impacted by the storms from last night. Just an awful situation here in our city and in our communities in Middle Tennessee. And, he mentioned, I think, something very important. Look, everybody wants to help. There are ways that you can help, whether that's monetarily, whether that's, being prepared when the time is right to volunteer your time to help clear debris. That time right now it's not there in terms of being a volunteer and helping to clear out debris. And the Nashville Emergency Operations Center, which is on Twitter, which has been providing, I think, really good updates all day, says, for those wanting to donate items, please visit the Community Resource Center at 218 Omohundro Place or call them at 615-291-6688. Again, that's 615-291-6688. Please note, no clothing will be accepted. So there are some resources out there that have been made available that John Cooper talked about in his statement there to the media, that if you're interested in helping out, you can access those. And I think, in the coming days, as we get a better sense of where the damage is, how much damage there is, how much devastation there's left to clean up, I think then that's when we'll get a better idea of what we as a community can do to get out there and put our boots on the ground and help our friends and our neighbors and our family members recover from this storm.
Yeah, and to that point, to reiterate, any help, again, right now, let the professionals do what the professionals need to do. Any help is great, but if you want to be organized with it, I think it can be more effective that way. Hands on Nashville on Twitter at HO Nashville. There's a sign up, HON.org, volunteer sign up, and they can really marshal the resources and maximize the resources if you get involved that way.
And you can also donate financially with the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee at CFMT.org as well. So if you're interested in donating financially to help our community out, CFMT.org is that website, Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee. And Marquise, I know this is something that hits home to you. You went through something like this in 2011 in Tuscaloosa. We all remember how scary that was. I remember I was at MTSU at the time, and it was storming here that day. Now, we didn't get anywhere near the level of storms and tornadic activity that you guys got down at Alabama, but just a really scary situation that I think a lot of us around here are very familiar with.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing about it is I was very – because at the time I was 20, I was going on 21. That was, my 21st birthday was in August, so yeah, I was 20. So I was very numb to – like how to deal with tornadoes. Like, I'm a kid from California. Like, I never had to go through that. Now, when Katrina happened, it was light in Alabama, but it wasn't to the magnitude as it was in New Orleans. So yeah. I was kind of numb to it, kind of like very nonchalant about it, had no awareness of it whatsoever until my mom told me to get in the tub. And then that's when I realized, okay, this is a serious situation. And then just seeing the devastation afterwards of having to look at my neighborhood and see that it's changed and it's going to change and it's going to look different in a few years than how I looked at it. And that's the part that people are going through now is the, you know, looking at this devastation and seeing that, you know, it once was this and now I'm going to have to remember it as that. And it's going to be something completely different. And that's the hard part about it. But then, you know, as years went by, I go back to Tuscaloosa now and like I can ride by, like when I go to campus, when I go to the University of Alabama, I got to pass by all that stuff that used to be something else.
Yep.
That is now something completely different. Like there's a Dick's Sporting Goods where there was pretty much devastation and there's a lot of different things over there, but I always still have those memories of what used to be there, and that's kind of one thing that gets me by. That's why I love going home, because I, you know, if I go home with people that don't ever go to Tuscaloosa, I'd be like, oh yeah, I used to be Full Moon Barbecue. I used to eat barbecue at. I used to go to this Big Lots and shop with my mom. I used to go to this gym right here in this shopping center, and those memories are gonna always last a lifetime. But it's difficult when there's lives lost, and I had a couple in my neighborhood alone that, you know, I had to deal with, and it just makes you grateful for, you know, every day. Like, and I said this to, 'cause my mom texted me, and this is why I always tell people, I randomly say I love you, and that's not because I'm weird. It's because, you know, after this Kobe death and with stuff like this that happens, like you may never know when you get another opportunity to do that. So that's why I was like, yeah, I may be weird and I just randomly text you, hey, mom, love you. But it just randomly, but it comes from a place like, you know, you may never ever have an opportunity to do that. So it's going to be hard. Me going through it personally with my own city, it's going to take time to heal. But one thing that got my community together on this is that my community was together on this. And everybody came together, even Auburn fans who, you know, they ignored the whole rivalry. And Auburn had a similar situation a couple years ago with what happened out there. But all that gets put aside for, you know, one thing, and that's all coming together. Because at the end of the day, we looked at it as we're the state of Alabama. And, you know, regardless of what we have on the football field, we all got to come together. And that's what Nashville is going to be able to do. And you heard Mayor Cooper talk about it of, you know, Nashville is strong. Like, this community is strong. And there's no doubt that the community will come together to figure this thing out and rebuild to what it was and even possibly even, you know, expand on it. So it's going to be tough, you know, first couple days, months, weeks, you know, whatever. It's going to be tough. But, you know, it's 1 year from now when I have to celebrate April 27th, you know, 2012, a year later after that situation, I remembered all the stuff that happened. And, you know, it just kind of, it was bittersweet that the city moved forward from that. So it's going to take some process, obviously, but, you know, the city will move forward with a strong community and, you know, just everybody coming together. So,
yeah, and I think we've seen this happen before. Nashville has come through tornadoes in the past, 1998, a flood in 2010 that was devastating to people and businesses and homes around here. This is never a situation that you want to deal with at all, much less, I mean, you're talking about 98, 2010 with a flood, 2020 now with another tornado. I mean, this happens relatively frequently around here in terms of severe weather. Just a tough circumstance. And, you know, I think back to 2006, I was living in Hendersonville at the time, and they had a similar situation where a heavy tornado outbreak, we got out of school that day. It was kind of happening right as we were getting out of school. And one of the most terrifying things to go back in the next, you know, the day after, the 2 days after is, I mean, you could pretty much with your naked eye see the path that the tornado takes. And it's just kind of haunting to look at, that you know that, you know, a day before, 2 days before, whatever the case may be, that this massive force of nature, this destructive force of nature, just comes through like that and barrels things over.
And that's why I say, like, you know, be aware. Because a 20-year-old Marquise, I didn't know anything about any of this. Like, any of this at all. When Katrina happened, I just kind of, like, I felt bad, obviously, that it happened. But it didn't really register to me until it happened to me. Until like, when my mom told me to get in the tub, I was like, I don't need to take a shower right now. I'm good. Like, I was supposed to go to the gym that day. That same gym got destroyed. And I was supposed to go there. My friend's like, nah, man, the weather's going to get pretty bad. I'm like, oh, man, come on, whatever, man. It's not that bad. It's just raining. And so just being aware of what's going on, paying attention to, you know, in Alabama, it's James Spann, by the way. Everybody keeps up with Spann, you know, James Spann alerts in Alabama when it comes to weather. So whatever that is, however you keep up with your weather, however you keep up with these things, like, make sure you follow that to the T, because these people are telling you what's going on. And I wish I would have done that, because I would have been a little bit more aware of what was going on that day. But luckily enough, my mom, who's a lot smarter than me, that's why everybody should always listen to their mothers when they give you advice on things, because moms know best. And, you know, luckily she was more aware than I was. She was watching the news. I wasn't. I was watching SportsCenter, and she was watching the news. And luckily she was able to pass this information to me. So just be weather aware. You know, I know that's a term that they use a lot, but follow these accounts, follow these different weather people that you trust in your community, and just know that they're, you know, if they break into your favorite game, it doesn't matter, because luck, they're trying to get you through, you know, what's about to happen. So just make sure you be aware, because I wasn't.
Yeah. A lot of journalists doing really important and great work today. Really appreciative of all of them. When you talk about following people, being weather aware, I would start on Twitter at NashSevereWX.
Absolutely,
really important account. They are on things to the second.
And real quick before we go to break here, you know, we've seen the destruction, we've seen kind of the devastation that it's left behind, but for some reason this has kind of put the power of a tornado into me. Heather Mathis from Channel 5 has just tweeted out an image of a red car that has been blown up to the third level of an apartment complex at a building in Hermitage. So you're talking about a car taken off the ground on somebody's balcony on the third level of an apartment in Hermitage. That just kind of goes to show you the power of what you're dealing with when these tornadoes roll through town. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion. Also, start to try to transition back into some Preds talk as well. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic. Just kind of reacting to a horrible day here in our community with a tornado outbreak last night. 9 killed so far is the count. Hopefully that's what it stays at. Mayor John Cooper and Governor Bill Lee addressed the media about 35 minutes ago and provided an update on some search and rescue efforts that are still underway in some of the affected areas. The pictures and the videos continue to roll in. There are, you know, countless videos and pictures out there from drone shots, helicopter shots. They just kind of do a good job of painting the picture of the devastation that's taken place in our community. And Joe, you know, we've been looking at this for 2.5 hours straight right now, and I'm still kind of in shock by it, just in terms of how unbelievable it is. A video just came out on Twitter from East Nashville, like Main Street in East Nashville, that I saw. That's where I grew up. Like, East Nashville was where I lived for the first 10 years of my life, and to see some of the devastation that's taken place there, it's truly mind-blowing to see. And that's not only East Nashville, North Nashville, Germantown, Mount Juliet, Lebanon, Putnam County, Benton County. Like, I mean, there are a lot of places affected by that storm last night. And the AP has reported that it has, I think, 2 tornadoes were what they said in their report there. So
At least two.
So it's an unbelievable sight to watch. It really is.
Yeah, and we hope and pray this doesn't turn out this way. But Governor Bill Lee did say that know, a lot of people are missing right now. They're trying to search for people. And the quote is that it's a really good possibility, to quote him, that, you know, the fatality count is going to go up from 9 where it is right now.
That's just awful to hear. And, look, we understand, like, obviously we did not plan to have a show about this today, and we're kind of reacting to all of this just as you are, as y'all woke up this morning on your way to work or sitting at home, wherever you're listening to us right now on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And we are going to transition back into sports. We realize that's tough to do on a day like today, but we do want to transition back very shortly. But just to kind of wrap up here, and we'll also continue to keep you updated throughout the show as more information continues to come out. But just to kind of wrap up here quickly, Joe, you know, I want to thank the first responders for what they're able to do in situations like this, because I can't really imagine some of the things that they've had to see. I can't imagine, you know, the devastation of walking into what once was a home or a business or a school, whatever the case may be, and having to see, you know, families' lives destroyed, possessions destroyed. Unfortunately, in some cases, human beings themselves destroyed. Like, it's an unimaginable situation, and hats off and thanks so much to our first responders who are out there having to deal with this on a day like today.
Yeah, I can't thank them enough. And in some cases, risking their own lives as they're searching for people too. So you can't say enough about them. And again, it's like so many things. On a day like today, you realize all the things you take for granted. And then you hope that you kind of take that feeling with you forward on all the normal days when nothing goes on like this and life returns to normal. But, you know, let this kind of affect your perspective for a minute. I think Marquise put it well in the last segment. You know, you kind of have that appreciation for another day when you get close to something like this. And I've never been that close to something like this. Marquise, you know, he experienced it, felt it, and a lot of people in Tuscaloosa and a lot of people around here last night did too. And that's a difference maker for someone. But even for all the rest of us who are just seeing this or around in this community who want to help out, you know, let it inform and help your perspective a little bit as you move forward.
Absolutely. And now we make the tough transition of going from talking about this and reacting to this to getting back into the world of sports. And Joe, it was a tough loss last night for the Nashville Predators. 8-3 game is 3-3 going into the third period. Leon Draisaitl just goes off, ends up with 4 goals, 1 assist. Connor McDavid with a goal and 4 assists on the night. What were kind of some of your takeaways from the game last night, particularly the way the third period unfolded on home ice against a team that's right there with you in terms of the playoff standings in the Western Conference?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think the big takeaway from sitting there watching the game is, man, that's just an ugly night for Pekka Rinne after he had played so well in his last two starts, especially, and really had played well. You know, he played really well against Vegas before that at the beginning of the month. He had a tough game at Vancouver, but that was, you know, to have to pull him, certainly that was not John Hines' plan. You know, when you got a back-to-back, they're at Minnesota tonight, huge game tonight, saving UC Soros for tonight and that game, which has massive playoff implications. But, you know, about halfway through the third period, it was finally enough already, and you have to put UC Soros out for 10 minutes and take Pekka Rinne off the ice. So that's the first thing. But then also, to me, the post-game with John Hines, I think it was the strongest indictment yet of the things that frustrate him and have frustrated this city all year about this team. It's the ups and downs and the disintegration that we see when something goes bad. I think it has gotten better with John Hines. I think we have seen pushback. I mean, the win over Calgary, you know, that's the ultimate resilience and pushback win. Huge 2 points that they were not going to get. But then you have this, and it's like, okay, let's not say they're all over the hump here. I mean, that was, again, 9 games giving up 6 goals or more this year.
It's really hard to believe. Astounding. It really is. And I agree. I thought last night, and it's not like John Hines came in there and just went on a tirade or anything like that, but I thought last night he was very pointed with his comments, and you could tell he was frustrated, but also I think really trying to send a message through the media to his players that what we saw last night and what took place at Bridgestone Arena just wasn't good enough. And especially for this time of year, for that to happen, I think you heard kind of, I don't know if bewilderment's the right word, but just kind of, you know, throwing your hands up in the air from John Hines. Like, you know, I asked him point blank, like, you have a veteran group that has been through a lot. How does this happen? This is not the first time you've talked about the intensity not being there. How does this continually happen with this group? And his response basically to that was, you know what? That's a good question. We got to get that part figured out. And did point out, as you mentioned earlier, that some of that's on him. He's the coach of this team. He's got to figure out how to get them to a level where their intensity is there every single night. But I thought really strong comments last night overall from John Hines in the postgame presser.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked a lot on February 17th after they rolled the Islanders and then they sweep St. Louis over the weekend. They win three games for the first time. Like, okay, is that, what is this? And since then, Carolina handles them 4-1. They lose to Chicago in overtime. They beat Columbus in that, you know, that shootout. They come back and they should have, you know, maybe lost to Ottawa, but they come back and win it. They get the tremendous win over Calgary. So again, it's like, okay, and now here we go again. You got Colorado coming in here. You got last night. It's just going to be a roller coaster. It's just a matter of are the you know, the rises a little bit more than the dips. And if so, they'll probably get into the playoffs. But yeah, it's just hard to, like, tonight, I think they'll respond tonight. I think they'll go play a good game at Minnesota. I'll be surprised if they don't.
Yeah, I would, yeah, too.
If they don't, and that happens enough, they won't get in. But are they ever going to be a reliable commodity? I mean, I think it's easy to have doubts about that right now.
When we come back, it's a must-win game tonight for the Tennessee Vols against Kentucky. Which version of the Vols are going to show up? We'll get into that next. You listen to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic, taking you through this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A tough morning for our community. I do want to pass something along. Bridgestone Arena has tweeted out that today at 11 o'clock, they're going to open the doors for those impacted by the tornadoes for a safe, calm place to have lunch. So if you're around downtown and you need a place to go have lunch and you've been impacted by the storms, Bridgestone Arena will be opening at 11 o'clock if you choose to go there. So a cool thing by Bridgestone Arena at that point to do that and give you that option if that's something that you need to do. Joe, it's a big game tonight, really a must-win game tonight for the Tennessee Vols as they take on Kentucky tonight at 8 o'clock. And just when you think you got this Vols team figured out, I mean, they got beat by Auburn. They had a 17-point lead in that game. They dribbled it away in the second half. I think they had 24 turnovers in that game, lost that game, just got absolutely destroyed by Arkansas in the next game. And you thought, okay, well, this is it for them. Their season is pretty much unraveled at this point. And then they go out and they beat Florida. And while Florida's not a great team, probably if most people are being honest with themselves, the way those two teams were trending, most people expected Florida to win that game. So then fast forward to tonight, a tough test against Kentucky. I still think the chances of Tennessee making the tournament are practically zero. I mean, at this point, you're probably going to have to win the SEC tournament or at least maybe win tonight and beat Auburn again. But this becomes a must-win game tonight for me, for the Tennessee Vols.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, I think if they would have lost to Florida, this game wouldn't have been a must-win because it wouldn't have mattered. It
wouldn't have mattered at all, yeah.
But the win over Florida, and they were up 19, and they almost squandered it, and then John Fulkerson throws up a shot clock bomb for the first three of his career. That's pure. Then he gets a tip dunk, too, and Thompson Bowling is chanting his name, and he deserved that. But that win, to me, makes it puts them in the same spot we talked about a couple weeks ago. Can they get three wins of this brutal final stretch to get to 18-13 and 10-8 in the league going in the SEC tournament? If they win at Kentucky tonight, which I think is a long shot.
Me too.
And turn around and beat Auburn on Senior Day Saturday, while their resume has dramatically changed in 1 week. Florida, Kentucky, Auburn, those are, especially Kentucky on the road, You're talking about probably a 2 seed. You just beat on the road.
Yep.
That's a very different resume at 18-13. They would be then right around that bubble line. They are not there yet. They're not close to it.
No.
You know, if you go look around the bracket people, most people have them about 8 to 10 spots off the field right now. But again, you get these two wins after Florida, you've changed your resume dramatically. And then I think it's possible you could come into the SEC tournament at Bridgestone Arena and not necessarily have to win the automatic bid to get in. You would still have to do a lot of work.
Yeah.
And you'd still have to get at least one more really good win, if not a couple. But at least this game to me now, that win over Florida means this game tonight counts again. And we'll see. I mean, they are playing good defense. Josiah James is one really encouraging thing. He played great against Florida. You know, the 5-star McDonald's All-American has not had the season people were hoping for. A lot of that is this groin injury that has been kind of plaguing him since the preseason, but he looked good the other day. And, you know, Santiago Vescovi bounced back after Arkansas really shut him down. They've got some things going for them. They play about 30 minutes every night of basketball that makes you think that's an NCAA tournament team. But like you said, those turnovers and just the bad stretches offensively, when they can't hit a shot, they can't get good shots, they just make mistakes that really undercut everything else they do. Those are the things that they've got to wipe away.
Jordan Bowden, I think, has been really interesting to watch this year because he's played well, but for the large portion, especially of the SEC schedule this year, I mean, he just hadn't been able to get shots to fall. And that finally started to change in the Auburn game. He played great in that game. Was very good once again against Arkansas, even though they got blown out in that game. Not as effective against Florida, only 10 points, 4 of 11 shooting. But if he can get back to shooting to the level he was against Auburn and against Arkansas, I think you're at least going to give yourself a chance tonight against Kentucky if you can get guys like Fulkerson, like Pons, to continue to play at least adequately enough on the offensive side of the ball, because that's been the biggest struggle for Tennessee all season, has been consistently putting together performances offensively to keep you in games like tonight against Kentucky. Well, you know you're going to have to score to win. Like, you're going to have to.
No doubt. And it's too bad. You know, Bowden was so great at Auburn. That looked like a game like, one, he breaks out of his shooting slump, and he's just playing. I mean, he was unbelievable. And then also it looked like that was going to be that signature road win that's really going to carry this team a long way, and they blew it. But he has come out of it, and now he looks like the guy Tennessee thought they were going to get all year. And a lot of it, like you said, he's done everything else well.
Yep.
I mean, sometimes shooters can let that affect the rest of their game. To his credit, he's played defense. You know, he's rebounded. I mean, he's out there doing good things, but just went through a dreadful slump, not being able to hit a outside shot, and that's his primary function on the team. So having him back shooting with confidence is huge. And, yeah, I think it'll take a huge night from him. I mean, Vescovi and Bowden are both going to have to hit, I'd say, a lot of threes tonight to give him a chance. And then you're going to need a guy like Pons to hit some jumpers too, because when he can hit jumpers and stretch the floor at the four, that opens up the rest of the floor. They're going to have to play a very low turnover game also, and that's not easy for this team to do.
So two games left, Kentucky and Auburn, and look, it's probably very unlikely they're going to win both of those games. I mean, heck, it could be unlikely they're going to win one of those games. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, they do win one. At that point, is it still you have to win the SEC tournament to get in your opinion?
Yeah.
Or is there some damage you could do to maybe get to the final and maybe make it close? Because I think you're going to have to win the whole thing.
I mean, I guess if tonight's the win, because tonight is, again,
tonight's the big
one. You win on the road against a quadrant one team of that quality, that's a big, big thing for your resume. But, man, I still think they would have to win both to not be in a, you know, auto bid situation. I guess, yeah, like if they, because they're going to have to play on Thursday in the SEC tournament, so they're going to have to win three games to get to the final. I guess if like the last two of those wins were against top quality teams, I mean, certainly the third one would be, maybe they'd be in the conversation, but I think they're pretty much got to win them both here.
I think so too, and unfortunately, you know, that game you let slip away in Auburn, I think is really going to haunt this team, because we mentioned going into that stretch, it was a five-game stretch at the time, and we said, you know, you really need to win three of these to put yourself in a conversation. If you can get one or two against either Auburn or Kentucky, that's going to go a long way in terms of putting you in that conversation. And everything that you needed to happen happened for Tennessee in that first half. You were up by 17 points in that game, and then you turned it over. And that, at the end of the day, when they lost that game, to me, it was just going to be so hard to bounce back from that.
Well, and think about a week earlier at South Carolina, the game. Yeah. They've got that game won. And South Carolina, that's not the same level of resume win, but it's another bubbly kind of team. And road wins really speak to the committee. So, yeah, just those two, you change a couple of dumb mistakes late in those games, and they look totally different right now.
When we come back, we're going to get back into the Preds. A tough loss last night against the Edmonton Oilers, 8-3. Big game tonight against the Minnesota Wild. When you look at the wild card standings, very tight in the race. But John Hines mentioned the intensity lacking in the Predators game last night. Is that on leadership? Is that on the leadership in the room? We'll get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.